promised. Not sure what's going on in the music. Welcome in to episode 8 of season 5 here of Board Check. Of course, that makes me Jeremy the Impact. Not Board Check. Ha! Yeah, Board Check history. Sports Club. End of the beginning of the end. I think you guys probably know what we're talking about there. We're not talking about this show. We are talking about something else coming up. But tons of stuff I want to get into. Sorry it's so late in the week, but if you go back and listen to the opening of the Board Check show from this week, you will actually hear pretty much the reason why a lot of things were pushed back this week. It was legitimate. Life just had other plans. Kind of explains the last couple weeks, but either way, we are here now. We are ready to talk sports, as so are you. Tons of stuff to get into, as always. We got Hawks, we got NBA, we've got Atlanta United, we've got the picks from the week. And of course, we have some Falcon stuff, but I want to start right here with this. I was going to put this on the college show, the game plan, but yeah, we were already pretty stacked on that show. So, instead, I want to talk about it now. During the, just a Sun Belt game, during the Georgia Southern Coastal Carolina game, in the fourth quarter, for home games at Georgia Southern, they play a particular song. I don't quite remember what song it was or it is. But they play a certain song. The whole team kind of dances along to it. It's been a long-time tradition. It's not new. And by long-time tradition, it could be just this season. But once again, it's not new. So Coastal Carolina, not to be outdone, decides to dance along to it as well. This is in between the third and fourth quarter, and the officials decide to give everyone a penalty. I mean, everybody on every team. They're given a personal foul, and since a handful of players already had one at that moment, three or four players were ejected. You know, we keep it pretty loose on this show. I mean, you guys are probably still dancing to the wobble now. And I'm not saying that everything needs to be just super loose, and this is not one of those get-off-my-lawn moments, but why are we calling penalties with kids having fun? They weren't offending anybody. In no way was it inciting a riot. It wasn't racial. They weren't doing it towards each other. They were enjoying the moment. And these officials had to crap all over their moment. And yes, I'm going to say that. A crap all over the moment. Because, one, they can't find me for that. So, I mean, it just makes you wonder if Georgia Southern's going to stop doing this or if they're going to continue to do it at different games. You know, Georgia State will be playing against them later on this year. I'm kind of curious to see what happens at that point. But just wanted to open with that just to say, what in the world? You know? What in the world? But let's get to some lighter stuff, you know. Let's talk some baseball. World Series Game 3 is currently going on. Game 1, Nationals were able to take that one. They also took Game 2. It's, you know, they're... They weren't picked to win this at all by almost anybody. I honestly didn't pick a World Series winner. Neither team that I thought were going to be in it are in it. My teams aren't in it. But the fact that Astros come in as like a 99% favorite, I'm kind of glad. I'm kind of glad, you know, that the Nationals have made the most of this opportunity. a lot of times when you're not expected to do well, it's a lot easier. There's no pressure. Then you just you do whatever you got to do to play well. But here we go. Just trying to find the score for you guys. It is currently 2-0 Astros in the bottom of the third with one out. So, but congratulations so far to the Nationals, even if they only win those two games. I mean, nobody expected them to be at this level. Nobody expected the St. Louis Blues to be where they were. And they ended up winning the whole thing. The whole Stanley Cup last year. So, honestly, I'm cheering for the Nationals. Yes, they are a direct rival of one of my teams. They are a direct rival of the Atlanta Braves that we also report on, the local team here. They are the former team of one of my favorite players. And Bryce Harper. But I got no ill will towards them. I cheer for the story. And the story here is just that. The Nationals, hey, if the Astros win, more power to them. They're setting up a dynasty at that point. But if, for some reason, the Nationals win this, good for them. I think it's the first time since, like, the, what is it, 50s, the 30s, like 1937, since the nation's capital has held a playoff game in baseball. More power to them. Go Nationals, you know? And I got friends in Houston. Hey, nothing personal, but go Nationals. I'm trying to find this other story. It's from a couple days ago, but, you know, as far as the new managers in baseball, you got Joe Madden for the Angels. I'm a big Joe Madden fan. You got Joe Girardi with the Phillies. The Cubs named David Ross. I cannot think of the Padres guy. See if we can get it pulled up there. But Girardi to the Phillies, I really like it. Now, Joe's going to have to change up his game a little bit. You can't run the Phillies the way you did the Yankees, two different organizations. Phillies are a little looser, but a little by the book at the same time as well. But David Ross running the Cubs, David, you run it how you want to run it. First-time manager, former catcher, very beloved by the fan base and the fans. There's not going to be any problems there. Joe Madden is going to loosen up that Angels club over there, and we'll see what happens. But I like all the hires so far. We'll see how they work out, you know. Like I said, David Ross, being the person he is, you can't say he doesn't have any managerial experience. He's been managing games his whole life. So I actually think he's going to do pretty well. They needed a change from Madden. Madden needed a change of scenery. He's going to go from Chicago to L.A., which, you know, he can be a little more of himself. He's a little out there. That's what I like about him, honestly. But I think he's going to do well. Of those three, who do I think is going to do the best? Well, Girardi's pretty much starting over at the bottom with that roster. They're in the process of rebuilding everything. Joe Madden is got a middle of the pack team that usually doesn't win enough to get in the playoffs, but doesn't lose enough to be considered a really bad team. So David Ross probably is inheriting the best lineup. So we'll see what he does with it from there. I can't get it to pull up. At some point it will. I'll let you know who it is. But let's get the elephant out of the room, right? The elephant in the room is the Atlanta Falcons. Now, I don't have the exact numbers, but when it's raining, it's pouring, there's a leak in the roof. Not the actual roof, as you gotta look at the fact that they're going to be in cap hell next year. The salary cap, they're going to just be up against the wall from the very beginning, unless they start moving some people, which is why I feel like it's time to move on from Vic Beasley. He'll be off the books anyway. Devontae Freeman. They've already moved on from Sanu, but it's not like Sanu was getting paid, you know, Julio money. There's a couple of them that I believe they do need to move on from, and when they do, they need to free up some money, and that's what I feel like, because I feel like a new GM and a new coach is coming. They may let them play out the end of the year. Honestly, I think Dan Quinn could be done after this week because next week is the bye week, and he's going to play against Seattle team that's going to just throttle them. But your new GM is going to have to be a cap specialist, somebody who can do like what the Saints did a couple years ago, where they were in absolute cap hell and were able to get out of it in about a year and a half. Remember, Atlanta fans, what I said. This team, even if it doesn't get a new coach, even if it doesn't get a new GM, stays exactly how it is, you are still, the rest of this year and probably next year, are part of the rebuild. At that point, it'll start turning around, if not, be ready to go again. Because you do have young pieces already, you're not going to have to completely start over. You're kind of going to be middle of the pack as far as that. You got to get out from under some of these contracts, and in the process of doing so, it's going to free up some spots. Here it is. To go back. Well, I'll come back to that in a minute. Let's just look at this game. This last game versus the Rams. Every time the Falcons try to get something going, either just a bad bounce or bad luck, or the Rams actually putting it together, somehow just thwarted every attempt they had to succeed in this game. It's kind of been that way all year. You had Devontae Freeman, who I like the fire he showed. He did show a lot of fire. But the fire he showed was trying to take on Aaron Donald, of all people. And once he threw a punch on Aaron Donald, he was thrown out of the game. You can't let You just can't let your emotions get the best of you like that. Like I said, I appreciate him showing the fire, that he's frustrated and he wants to do better things. But Devontae, that seemed like a desperate move to get me out of here. I just don't want to be here. And it may have just meant I'm tired of this game. I'm tired of the way it's going. But it also could have meant I need a change of scenery. And I agree. It's not personal, Devontae. He's done so many great things here. He has no ill will whatsoever to the fans nor the city of Atlanta. Nothing but appreciative, but let's do him a favor. We did Sanu a favor. Let's do him a favor and, you know, get him to a different spot, especially the trade deadline's coming up in the next week or so. Move him and get something. It ain't got to be a pick even. It could be a rookie contract player. You still need players. You still need pieces. You know who's hurt, who's not, who's coming back, who's not. Now'd be a good time to start getting some of that depth. Like I said, lack of execution, the bad luck, and bounces. It wasn't a lack of effort. In fact, once again, Matt Ryan was trying to play so much that he ends up injuring his ankle. Aaron Donald is 2 for 2 in being there when injuries happen. You know, it was Drew Brees' thumb that went up against Aaron Donald's, I believe, arm and sprained it as it had. And now Matt Ryan, his ankle. You know, Aaron Donald had his ankle wrapped in the most tender two-arm embrace. It just got twisted up in there or something. I think Matt Ryan's actually going to sit out this week. Yeah, there's no reason for him to actually play and risk injuring it even more. So, that means Matt Schaub, I believe, will be starting. No idea who the backup is. I think Matt Ryan could play if it meant something, but this game's not going to mean anything. I made a note on here, even though I've kind of already mentioned it, to the fans, and probably to the organization, to people who don't realize this. I put on here, this could get worse before it gets better. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I think this season is going to continue to play out the way it is. You're going to see some vacancies on the dance floor, so to say. And then I think you can move on. You can move forward. It's like being in that relationship. Could be a love relationship with a significant other. It could be friends with someone. It could be a job even. And you know that even though things are going okay, they could be a lot better, and things are just starting to sour, kind of go toxic a little bit. The best thing to do is just the sooner the better, get out of there and start over. Start somewhere else. Even if you don't have to start completely over, just start somewhere else. And I think it's that time. It's that time. It's like I said, it's not like Dimitrov has done the world's worst job, but he's had, what, 2 coaches in 12 years and has 1 Super Bowl appearance and a couple division titles as far as the players he's provided. So at some point, you're at fault too. And see, here's the thing. If you get a new coach, if you get a new GM, especially a coach, like I said, you're looking at about 1.5 years, maybe 2 year rebuild. And the thing that the coach is going to ask is some of these players, some of the cornerstones, are they a part of the future? The number one is Matt Ryan. It may be time to see what you can get for Matt. Honestly, he's been great. You look at his numbers, you look at the way he plays, the kinds of things he does for the community. It's one of those, even as a fan of a different team, when you see what he's done, the impact he's done around here, I honestly don't want him to go. But maybe the best thing for the team and him is to go a different direction. I think Julio's one that sticks around. He'll be a Falcon for life. Keanu Neal, all those other guys are super. Grady Jarrett, they're all young. No reason there. But a couple veterans, just, I don't know. You just have to see at that point. There it is. To talk about it a second ago, the Padres have hired Jace Tingler. He was the Rangers' Major League Player Development Field Coordinator for this season. He works with outfielders and base runners, and he is currently managing Leones del Escogida in the Dominican Winter League. So, congratulations, Chase. Congratulations to the Padres. But that closed up that. But yeah, it just, nothing personal, Falcons fans. I don't want to do the doom and gloom. That's not what I'm here for. not here to continue to bang on the team and then all the, you know, you're not as good as it. No, it's, I want to see this team do well again. You just got to get the right people in the right places. And I think Dan Quinn tried everything he could. I think if he's let go, there are three candidates to potentially take over. You have Raheem Morris, who was the head coach in Tampa. The guy who actually followed him as head coach in Tampa was Dirk Cutter, who is also, he's the offense coordinator here. And then one of the other coaches here, Mike Mularkey, was the guy, I think he was the Jaguars and Titans coach at one point. Honestly, if it's not Raheem, it'll be Mularkey. It's not going to be Dirk Cutter. It's not that Cutter's been doing a bad job, but he's a good coordinator. He's not a good head coach at all. You know, here's some names. You know what I always say? If you're going to run somebody out of town, you're going to fire somebody, you're going to trade somebody, whatever it is, give me somebody in place. Here's some assistant coaches that I think could be on the radar. Just a couple of them. You got Dennis Allen, who's the defense coordinator in New Orleans. Now, could he go from New Orleans to Atlanta? I don't know. Rivalries don't mean that much to coaches when it comes to job opportunity. If you're going to get promoted, those kinds of things. But Dennis Allen, you got Mike Pettine, who has been a coach before. He's a defense coordinator with Green Bay. Could see how that's going to go. And then the one to look out for, and because the defense is what needs the most work here in Atlanta, and that's why I think that's the direction they're going to go. Robert Saleh, who is the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, who are blowing up the place right now. Arguably the second best team in football behind the Patriots. And they're not that far off from them the way they're playing. But those are the ones I would look at. NFL lines. Yeah, Robert Saleh. Just, and I may be saying his name wrong. Maybe Saleh, whatever it is. But just some names to keep in mind, you know. Let's see. NFL headlines. Breeze is kind of feeling the heat. I hope he doesn't rush himself back, but it looks like if he doesn't start this week, that he'll start within the next couple weeks. He has been throwing a football a couple weeks ahead of schedule. Seems to be doing okay. I wish him all the best in his recovery, but if I was him, I'd let Bridgewater roll for a minute because he's not going to overtake your job this year. You know, next year might be a different story, but no, Drew, you'll get it back. Just make sure you're healthy, because if you get injured again, that might be it. You got the Mahomes injury with his dislocated patella tendon, where he just went for it on, what was it, 4th-and-1, went for the sneak and got caught up in the pile, got twisted up. He's going to miss, I think, 3 or 4 weeks. If I were them, I'd keep him out till after the Mexico City game. We all remember how Mexico City was just a mess last year. And, you know, the Madden curse gets him again. Kansas City, I think, is going to be okay. It's the same thing we said about Breeze with Bridgewater. When Mahomes, Matt Moore, who has started in this league before, he started a playoff game in this league before, he is actually the recipient of one of the most egregiously stupid hits in the history of the world. I don't think it was called. I mean, it could have seriously killed the guy. But I think as long as he keeps him afloat, keeps him around 500 for the next, I think Kansas City's going to be fine. We've had the resurgence all of a sudden of Kirk Cousins, who in the last 3 weeks has looked like he's, I don't know, Brett Favre or something. It's good to see, because Cousins at Michigan State used to blow up my Wolverines all the time and used to do real well in the Big Ten. And then he got to the league, and he did okay in Washington. He got the big money in Minnesota and just kind of fell flat. He's never been good when the bright lights are on in the biggest games. But, you know, maybe that changes sometime soon. And for his sake, I hope he continues to do well. Has the Chargers window closed? I think it did. I think it closed last year. I think that's why they're starting to implode a little bit. Can't quite put all the pieces back together. It's kind of like the Humpty Dumpty. You know, we all know Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. He fell off. They put him back together. He falls off the wall again. They put him back together. It's this big repeating process. We've all broken things before. And the first time you put it back together, it may not be that bad, right? The second time you do, well, it's in a few more pieces than it was before. It broke a little differently, a little harder to put back. And then before you know it, after it's done it 3, 4, 5, 6 times, it just gets harder and harder. So I think they are at the moment where it's there's just so many pieces, they're not quite sure where they all go. So like I said, I think the Chargers window closed last year. I think they're going to fall flat, end up around 500 this season. I don't know if Rivers plays anymore after this. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Who knows? But if you're the Chargers, I would be looking. If Rivers was going to disappear, I would consider maybe making a play for Cam Newton. Or if you're the Bears, making a play for Cam Newton. It's if Cam's healthy, he's an upgrade. Not the Chargers. He would be an upgrade of whoever's behind Rivers and whoever you could get right now. And if you're the Bears, it might make you a playoff team. But, you know, I actually got the idea of Cam to the Bears from a friend of the fan of the show, Akil, that we talk about a lot. He mentioned it. He goes, hey, what do you think about Cam to the Bears? And I was like, I actually like it a good bit. I don't think it's that far off of a potential possibility. And the more I thought about it, why not? I think he's done in Carolina. I think they were going to move on anyway. I've said that, you know, for the whole season, maybe longer. So if they want to move on, then if I were them, I would try to find a trade partner now. And if you can't find one now, then you're going to lose Cam. You're going to end up getting a draft pick out of it. And we'll see where he goes from there. Because if he gets his choice, maybe he tries to find a different place to play. If I were him, if the Chargers had a vacancy, I'd go there or the Bears. The Bears are more suited to make a run now because of that defense. But the Chargers aren't that far off either. The MVP race. It's pretty much the Russ Wilson show. Rodgers is closing in. I guess Cousins in the last 3 weeks has put his name in the hat. But it's pretty much Russell Wilson's to lose. And Aaron Rodgers is not far behind him. Or the other things. Oh, couple trades that happen. Mohamed Sanu gets traded to the Patriots for, I believe, a second-round pick. So more power to you, Atlanta, for getting that. Emmanuel Sanders, the receiver from Denver, goes to San Francisco. They had said all along they were going to be in the wide receiver market. They went and got a good one. And Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett, the big pass rusher, is headed to Big D, going to put a star on the side of his helmet. That pass rush over there that was already pretty good just got exceptional, because you can rotate him in with four or five of the other best people they got. They could just keep sending them. It's like unlimited cannonballs in a video game. They're just going to keep firing. Let's see. I think that pretty much gets it on the NFL level. Let's do an NBA preview. I'll talk a little Hawks. They did play last night. They did pick up the victory. First victory not only of the year. It's probably 2 weeks before everybody thought they would. But, hey, win's a win. Start 1-0. Good for you guys. Beat the Pistons. I don't know where the Pistons are. I know Derrick Rose plays for them, and he does pretty well. But, you know, you never know in the first week how people are going to shake out. But notable players for the Hawks, because a lot of people ask that all the time. Well, I'd like to go see the Hawks, but I don't know who any of these people are. Well, let me help you out a little bit. Of course, you got the star of this team, Trae Young, a very young guy who is very, very good. It's hard to compare him to anybody because he just started. This is only his second year now. He really came alive last year. I believe was runner-up in the Rookie of the Year to Luka Doncic. You got the ageless wonder at 42 years old, Vince Carter. If you don't know who Vince Carter is, kids, go YouTube him. Honestly, I hope he does a slam dunk contest this year at the All-Star break, and I hope that Zion Williams does as well, because you will have a 42-year-old legend and a 19-year-old kid that could potentially go against each other, and I think that would be absolutely fantastic. You got John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, and Cam Reddish, who I'm the most excited about. I think he's really going to do well playing with Trae Young, Vince Carter. Just this team, are they loaded? No. Have you heard of a lot of their players? Probably not if you haven't been watching the last couple years. But remember, I said early last season, if not the season before, I'm all in with this Hawks team. I got my gear. I'm going to try to make it to some games this year. I want to see this team play. I watch them all on television, all the ones I can. I saw the one the other night. As far as what they could do this year, I think we're looking at a possible 6-8 seed. Could probably back into the playoffs because the East is bad. You know, pretty much in the East, you got Philly, Toronto, Milwaukee, and then Boston or Brooklyn, maybe somewhere down the line. So, you know, the Hawks could sneak in there, 6-7-8 seed. But like I said, I'm excited. I'm excited about this. You should be excited about the Hawks, too. Get on the crest of the wave now. It's going to be a fun ride all the way to the beach. Just kind of previewed the East a little bit. The West could be interesting. Yeah, the Lakers and Clippers. Clippers won the first battle of that. Houston, San Antonio, Utah, Denver. So we're up to 6 there. 7, don't sleep on Golden State. Klay Thompson may come back. He may not. Who knows? as far as this season. If he's smart, he just stay out until he's fully healthy. Don't rush yourself back. But, yeah, there's seven teams right there. I mean, who knows who that eighth team or even if all of them are going to make it in the West. So we'll have to just wait and see how things play out. I'll talk more NBA and more Hawks in the next coming weeks. Season just started. That's just my two cents there. Let's move on into my picks. No, wait. Let's talk some Atlanta United first. Atlanta United had the playoff game last night on ESPN2. They beat the Philadelphia Union 2-0 to move on to the finals, where they will face, I believe, Toronto, as the Seattle Sounders will face off against LAFC, who defeated the Galaxy last night as well. And that's the Eastern Finals and the Western Finals, so that should be a lot of fun. I have no idea when that game is. Not sure if they've announced it yet. If they have, you guys are probably screaming at me at this point, so let me just look it up. As we are waiting on it to come up. I know Gressel had a goal. Actually, it could have been 1-0 instead of 2-0. I can't quite remember. But here we go. Atlanta and Toronto will play Wednesday at 8 o'clock. I don't know what network. My guess is FS1. But that should be a good one. Both these teams coming in with some big-time streaks. Should be a good game. And I think Atlanta can beat them if they play their solid game. LAFC Seattle. Seattle's always good, but gosh, don't we want to see LAFC win? They're the young upstart. I'm going to go LAFC on that one versus Atlanta, and then I'll talk about the final from there. Picks. I did pretty well this week. I told you to take the only one I missed was when I said take Detroit at home over Minnesota. I did not realize Kirk Cousins was still on a hot streak and that Detroit had cooled off a little bit. The ones I did get right, Rams over Atlanta, Arizona over the Giants, and take Baltimore over Seattle. Ended up 3-1. Hopefully that helped you out. Coming into this week, take Seattle on the road versus Atlanta because it's Atlanta. And Seattle is really good. I don't think it's going to be a big-time blowout. People are thinking 20-plus points. No, they'll probably win by 13 or 14, somewhere in there. Take Houston at home versus Oakland. I think Oakland is still a really solid, good team. Gruden's done such a fantastic job now, just into his, a year and a half into the job. So $15 million into his 100 at this point. But Houston is going to rebound. They're going to come back strong, and they're just going to punch Oakland in the mouth. And I don't think Oakland's ready for that. Moving on. If Patrick Mahomes is playing, I still would probably pick the same team. It would just be a lot closer. Pick Green Bay on the road versus Kansas City. And finally, Philadelphia will be at Buffalo. Take Buffalo at home. They're going to rebound as well. They kind of had a hiccup week. Philly had one as well. Philly is going to, this is going to be like 34-33. It's going to be really, really close. They're going to score in the upper 20s, lower 30s apiece. But take Buffalo. So to recap, take Seattle on the road versus Atlanta. Take Houston at home versus Oakland. Take Green Bay on the road versus Kansas City. And take Buffalo at home versus Philadelphia. That's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate all you guys tuning in to this great edition of Sports Club entitled End of the Beginning of the End. I think that's it's the end of the beginning of the end of the Dan Quinn era here in Atlanta, and T. Thomas Dimitroff. We're probably past the end of the beginning of the end, but the process is moving. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons.
Changes my time.